morning, and may the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Welcome to our worship of God on this fourth Sunday in the season of Advent. You'll find red friendship registers in your pews. If you would take a moment, sign your name, pass them up and back, and make sure you see who's worshiping with you this morning, that you can call them by name when worship is done. A note about our worship on Wednesday evening, Thanksgiving Eve. We worship two times Thanksgiving Eve, the first at 5:30, and that will involve a pageant. The second time we will worship at 10 o'clock with music beginning at 9:30. Both of those services will feature the passing of candlelight throughout the sanctuary and the traditional singing of Silent Night in a candlelit space.
Following 10 o'clock worship, you will be able to help us deliver poinsettias to families that we would like to remember. There will be a board out in the back with names on it of some of our seniors and our shut-ins and a variety of people that we would like to share our poinsettias with. Following 10 o'clock worship, you'll be able to take a plant and go to the back, and people will help you to put a bag on it, and you will be able to deliver it on Christmas Day to the person whose name you have, or you would be able to come back on Friday or on Sunday the 28th and pick up poinsettias for delivery to our friends.
We don't expect them to be delivered on Christmas Day, but sometime, you know,
sure,
before Easter. Within the first couple of days, it'd be lovely. 2015 offering envelopes are on the table outside the church office. Pick yours up on the way to coffee hour today. If you don't see yours there, call the church office and we'll correct the oversight.
There's a wonderful storytelling opportunity at the Glenn Sanders Mansion where we can hear Kent Bushman and a couple of his cohorts tell wonderful stories. We have a meal together and we support the Student Care Fund for the Classes of Schenectady. The Classes of Schenectady has four or five students right now under its care, and we help provide tuition for these students. Heather Kramer is one of those students. She's a member of this congregation. You'll want to plan on supporting her in this wonderful way. Go hear some stories on Sunday, January 25th. And on Sunday, January 11th, a group is invited, please, to find out more about Prayer Shawl Ministry. Come and learn how to knit or crochet and see what this ministry is all about for this community and how you too might become a part of this very hands-on ministry, the Prayer Shawl Ministry. There are a variety of ways in which we gather as God's people in this festive season. We give thanks to God for the opportunity then to gather this morning. And we praise God. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
maker of heaven and earth.
Candles on our Advent wreath remind us of waiting. Advent is the season of waiting. The light of the first candle is for all of us who wait, and all of us do wait, for none of us are yet whole. The light of the second candle is for all who are weary, for those who have become worn down, because life can be hard. The light of the third candle is for all who, like the prophets before us, long for the glory of God to be revealed and for the world to come to its senses.
This morning we light the fourth candle. Its light is for all who have been wounded by life. Lighting it, we not only think of our own pain, but also of the pain that we have caused others. As the light of these candles shines, we turn to our Savior, who came to seek the lost, to heal the hurting, and to bind up the broken, the one who came to show us the way. Prophet Isaiah spoke to King Ahaz in a time of crisis, saying, "Ask a sign of the Lord your God. Let it be deep as the grave or as high as heaven." But Ahaz said, "I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah spoke, "Isn't it enough that you weary mortals? Do you also weary my God? The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the young woman is with child, and she shall bear a son. She will name him Emmanuel, which means God with us."
In one heart and mind.
grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, and who is to come. Amen. You may be seated.
I invite you to join now your voices and your hearts and your minds one with another as we bring a common confession before our gracious God, not only for ourselves, but for the entire world. Pray with me. Blessed God,
in Jesus Christ, you offer yourself to me, but there is much in me that is not worthy of him. Prejudices alien to his spirit, unclean passions, ill tempers, shallow living,
and an unworthy longing for that which cannot endure. Therefore, I pray with all my heart, create in me a clean heart, O God. Put a new and right spirit within me. Amen. Friends, the prophet Hosea spoke God's word, a word from God spoken to people who had forgotten their God. And this is what God said through the prophet. How can I give you up? How can I hand you over for destruction? My heart recoils within me. My compassion grows warm and tender. Therefore, I will not execute my anger, and I will not come to destroy. When my people return to me, I will welcome them to their home. Friends, in Jesus Christ, God fulfills his promise. In Jesus Christ, God came among us. Through Jesus Christ, God offers us each and all a new beginning. Through Jesus Christ, God can redeem us and make us whole. Believe this good news and go to live in peace.
The Apostle John wrote, "I write you this new commandment, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever loves a brother or a sister lives in the light and does not stumble. But whoever hates another lives in the darkness and walks in the darkness and cannot see the way to go, because the darkness makes one blind. Beloved, therefore let us love one another, for love is from God. This is how we are called to live." And we respond to God's great love for us by bringing our extravagant offerings this morning.
Thank you.
with me. Mold us, Holy Spirit of God, that like Joseph before us, we may welcome Christ into our lives. To that end, we offer you our gifts and the hours of this new week. Amen. Please be seated.
This morning, we have the wonderful privilege of being able to provide one of the very best Christmas presents that anyone could possibly receive. We give our second graders their Bibles this morning, and so I ask Kristen Bodden, who is our coordinator of Christian Living. She coordinates all of the education and the programming for not only the youngsters in Sunday school, but all of us in our faith formation and development. And I asked Kristen to serve with me this morning, and she will name the children to come forward and receive their Bibles.
Yes, Madeline Lucrecie, please come up. Lexi Falcon, Helen Raver, Dylan Getter, Bethan Zenner, Elena Stasiak, and Thomas Hoffman.
And if you would all stand right here so everybody can see all of you. This is wonderful. There are more. Wait. Advent is all about waiting. Wait. Good morning, Helen. In baptism, your parents made vows. Parents make vows to instruct their children in the truth of God's word, in the way of salvation through Jesus Christ. Parents promise to pray for these children and to teach them to pray, to train them in Christ's way by example, through worship and in the nurture and the fellowship of the church. So in presenting Bibles to these children, we help parents and families keep the vows that they have made. The congregation also promises to support and encourage families in keeping those baptismal promises. You too pray for these children. You too help in raising them. One of the ways we keep the promise to instruct your child in the truth of God's word is to give these children a Bible for devotions, for family prayer, for study. This is an important part and step in the life of Christians, and we celebrate with all of us the step in faith that is taken today.
Thank you. Let us pray. We thank you, O God, for your promise to be with us always, whatever our age. Be with us as we seek to obey your will for us, and as we read your word to learn more about you. Bless these children and their families this day and always. Amen.
And Jacqueline, it is a wonderful gift to give to you. And if there are families or others who need a Bible, please speak to Kristen or to me. We always love for you to have access to God's word. And now, if you will go back to your seat, and let's see if you can find the gospel according to Matthew Families, help them find the lessons that Pastor Craig reads now from the Word. Thank you, Kristen.
And now we do turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the first chapter, beginning at the 18th verse. Listen now for the Word of God. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and Joseph named him Jesus. And this is from the very end of Paul's letter to the church in Rome. "Now to God, who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but is now disclosed, and through the prophetic writings is made known to all the Gentiles, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be seated, but I invite the short ones to come down to the front. Come on down. Well, good morning. We'll wait till everybody's here. Now, you all know that angels are a part of the Christmas story, right? Angels are part of the Christmas story. And I wonder if, and this is hard, think about it. I wonder if any of you can tell me who the angel Gabriel came to first as the Christmas story got started. Can any of you think, who do you think it was?
Mary and Joseph.
That's a really good guess, but it's not Mary and Joseph. Who do you think it was? Nope, that's a good guess too. Who do you think it was? Nope. Zachary, did you look in the Bible that you just got? The first person that the angel came to was Zechariah, an old man, and the angel said, Zechariah, you and Elizabeth are going to have a baby, and that baby's name was John, who became John the Baptist, who introduced people to Jesus. Now, who were the next people that heard the angel? Joseph and Mary were the next people to hear the angel. Now, our choir, you knew this was coming last week if you were here. Our choir has prepared a special anthem called Angels Are Making Their Rounds. And what I'm going to do so that you can hear the choir really well, because this is special for you, I'm going to invite you all to come to a place you don't usually get to come to. Let's all come up here so we can hear the choir really well. Come on. This is really fun. I get to hang out here all the time, but you guys never do. So, here we are. Come, there's lots of room. There's lots of room. Have a seat. I'll join you. We're going to hear all about angels making their rounds, and here, if you can't hear about Zechariah,
oh,
Hey, wasn't that good? Isn't it nice to hear them right up close? Okay, what did the angels say? What did the angels say when they came to Zechariah and to Joseph and Mary? What did they say?
Fear not.
Fear not. You don't need to be afraid. I think that's what angels say to you and me, too. Now, who were the next people that heard the angels in the Christmas story? Who? Were you going to say the shepherds? You were right. The shepherds heard the angels as well. Now, one last question. This is the second anthem the choir sang this morning. The first anthem that they sang had a little bit of a Christmas carol in it that we all know, or that some of us know. Anybody remember what that little piece of Christmas carol was? What child is this who can dum dum da da dum? We got it started. Now let's finish it. We'll have a prayer and then let's sing that carol together. Pray with me. Lord, thank you for these children. Thank you for the angels' message to them and to all of us. Fear not. Be with us as we begin this holy week and as we look forward to celebrating at Christmas the birth of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Okay, let's sing What Child Is This? Were you? Good, good. So to sing with me. Good old number 53, okay? Pray with me. Our Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts and our minds be pleasing in your sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some of you know that I've got a telescope. And if the night's not too cold, I like to take it out and look at things in the sky. Now, I particularly like to look at those things that you can't see with your naked eye because they're so very dim. And even in a telescope, they're very dim. One of the things I like looking at best is the Andromeda Galaxy, a galaxy of stars, a big pinwheel in the sky, very much like our own Milky Way galaxy. They say in another 4 or 5 billion years that the Andromeda Galaxy and the Milky Way galaxy will come together. Huh, wouldn't you like to see that? Now, one of the things you learn when you look through a telescope at dim objects is that if you want to see something clearly, you don't look right at it. You use what's called averted vision because your eye is more sensitive to light off to the side than it is straight ahead. So it's counterintuitive, but you learn not to look directly at the galaxy or the nebula or the little thing you're looking at, but you look a little bit off to the side and you actually see it better. That's called averted vision, when you look to the side to see something else more clearly. Don't do this when you drive. That's true for dim objects, not bright objects. Matthew uses, I think, the technique of averted vision in his gospel to tell us about Jesus. Matthew focuses on Joseph in order to help us see Jesus more clearly. Matthew lifts up Joseph as a model of faith. So let's follow Matthew's lead and take a look at Joseph this morning. Joseph is a model for us because of his context. Joseph is a model because of his context. His life had not gone as planned. We're told that Joseph was engaged to Mary. What did that mean? Well, of course, it meant much the same in his time as it does in our time, but with a little bit of a difference, with a little nuance. In Jesus' day, in Joseph's day, marriage was a two-step process. The first part of that process usually began with the bride's family and the groom's family arranging a marriage. It began with an engagement, but a stronger kind of engagement than what we have in our day. After a marriage had been arranged, words were spoken. Promises were made. The man and the woman, or more likely the man and the young girl, were bound together. From then on, she would be considered his wife, even though the marriage had not yet taken place. Now, often this happened when the girl was still quite young, 11, 12, 13 years old, and so after the engagement, the girl, the young woman, would stay with her parents for a year or 2 years. 2 years until she was old enough to become married, and then the community would gather and there would be a celebration, and the bride would leave her home and would be welcomed into the home of her husband. Joseph and Mary were in the middle of that process. They were partway between the steps. Matthew tells us that Mary was Joseph's espoused, his engaged wife, but they had not yet lived together. We're also told this about Joseph in his context. We're told that Joseph was a righteous man. Now, that word righteous has a meaning in the New Testament. It means that a righteous person is someone eager and anxious to observe the religious law of Moses, to live a life in harmony with the will of God by following all of the commandments. Now that created a crisis for Joseph because, as Matthew tells us, Joseph discovers that Mary is pregnant and Joseph knows that he is not the father. Therefore, Mary has been unfaithful, and the law of Moses has some things to say when a man discovers that his betrothed has been unfaithful and is not a virgin. You can read it yourself in Deuteronomy chapter 22. He is to put her away, cast her aside. He can, if he'd like, even drag her before the elders, take her to the gate of the city and have her stoned. But as often happens when someone takes faith seriously, Joseph also had become a compassionate man. And so Matthew tells us that he was righteous and that he was compassionate. And to resolve the dilemma, he decides to divorce Mary quietly, not drag her in front of the elders, not do this publicly. Joseph is a model for us, a model of context. Can you see yourself in him? What I mean by that is, in my experience, it seems that life does not always go as it is planned. There's confounded other people in our lives, and they change things, don't they? You know, it all looks so good on paper until you actually have to live it out with other folks. Life doesn't always go as planned. People challenge us. Jobs challenge us. People at our jobs challenge us. I didn't mean to look at you. I meant to include you, not accuse you. Jobs challenge us. People challenge us. Our families can challenge us. The way forward is not always clear. Choices must be made. One road needs to be taken, and when that road is taken, other roads are left behind. The future goes one way and one way only. We need to decide. We need to make up our mind. Joseph is a model of context. His life had not gone the way he had planned it. Things did not turn out as he had hoped. A choice needed to be made. Joseph is a model of context. Joseph is also a model of listening. You heard how Matthew told the story. Joseph dreams. He dreams of an angel who says, "Joseph, fear not. Do not be afraid to take Mary. She will bear a son. I want you to call Mary's son Jesus," or in Aramaic, Yeshua, which means God saves. Joseph comes to understand that his faith must be lived out in the choices that he makes. Joseph dreams. He dreamed God's dream. Joseph will put the letter of the law aside. He will not cast Mary out. He will not drag her before the council. He will not have her stoned. He will receive her and the child she will bear. Joseph will give Jesus a name. Joseph will give Jesus a heritage, his heritage, so that Jesus will be called a son of the house of David, the lineage of Joseph, not of Mary. Joseph will take him as his own. What if Joseph had said no? He could have. Jesus would have become the bastard child of a disgraced mother. He would not have been brought to the temple as a young man where he astonished the rabbis, the teachers of the law. He would not have been named a rabbi. Without being a rabbi, he would not have had a ministry, and there had been no gospel lesson. Fred Buechner tells the story of the angel Gabriel coming to Mary, giving the message that he gave to Mary about bearing a son, and then steps back, and Fred Buechner says, underneath those great golden wings of his, Gabriel trembled, understanding that the salvation of the world depended now upon the answer of a child. The same can be said about Joseph. Joseph heard the dream. He could have said no, but Joseph said yes. Joseph becomes a model for listening. The future of the world depends on our listening for God. Finally, Joseph becomes for us a model of response. Joseph heard God's call, and he acted on God's call. Yes, he said. He gave Jesus a name. He gave Jesus a heritage. He gave Jesus a home, and in so doing, helped to usher in God's future. That's why that passage began as it did. The birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. Joseph. When we lift up Joseph as a model, we see the movement of a life of faith, the movement from crisis and challenge to a time of listening to a time of action. Let me tell you a story about something that's been lived out in our own congregation that illustrates that movement of challenge, of listening, and action. Because there are people among us who saw a challenge, people who listened for God's call, and people who took action that led to something remarkable. Some years ago, Jane Lansing and Linda Lewis came to one of our consistory meetings. They had been involved with another group of people that was working with a family of Iraqi refugees. And Jane and Linda came to our consistory and said, "Others are coming, others from this extended family. We would like it if our congregation could help sponsor them." The consistory heard their call, affirmed their call, and Jane and Linda went out and recruited others, Bill and Martha Eberly, and lots of others. I was talking to Jane the other day, and she filled me in on what lots of people in our congregation had done. They met these two families at the airport. A team walked with the families through their first hard weeks in America, and dealt with all the paperwork and the medical appointments that the whole process made necessary. Many, including some of our youth, helped find and set up the first apartments for these people and arranged for them to have many of the household items that you need. People participated in a fill-the-pantry shower, in a baby shower. Someone contributed a Christmas tree. People collected clothing for the children as they grew. Someone wrote a check to help with a housing emergency. A couple steered the children through the mysteries of American education, through the mysteries of daycare, and helped tutor them in English. People visited, ate with them, celebrated the holidays with the families. Lots went on. As a congregation, we were able to help Rami and Linda, Rami Saidam, Linda Mofid, as well as Linda's parents, Farwaz and Samir. These people are Palestinian by birth, but not by country, because most of the world does not recognize Palestine as a country. Because of the violence there, they fled to Iraq. And when things began to get tumultuous in Iraq, they had to flee for their lives and just made it over the border into Syria, where for 4 years they were housed in a refugee resettlement camp. Not together, there was a men's camp and a women's camp. Imagine trying to keep a family together for 4 years when husband and wife cannot be together. But they were accepted by our State Department, came over here, and we were able to help them. Just this past month, Rami's sister, Jahan, the first of the people to be here, she and her husband, Muhammad, finally completed the process and became U.S. citizens. Rami, who is Jahan's sister, came home one day last week and announced to his family, "Soon we will have a place in the world." They had no place in Palestine. They had no place in Iraq. They had no place in Syria. "Soon we will have a place in the world. This will be our new home. I love America." One small story of good news in a world that so longs for good news. Joseph faced a crisis. Joseph listened for God's call. Joseph acted on God's call, and the world was changed. It's a model for you and for me. People in our congregation saw a challenge, heard God's call, and acted on God's call. In just a few minutes, you'll all be invited to a coffee hour. And for the third year in a row, our Christmas Sunday coffee hour is being provided by an extended family of Muslim immigrants. That is a remarkable story. Can you think of any other church today where Palestinian Muslims want to honor a congregation of Christians by hosting their Christmas coffee hour? If this year is like other years, they will wish us a Merry Christmas. You may say Merry Christmas in return, or if you'd like, you can greet them with the Arabic greeting, As-salam alaykum. Salam, like the Hebrew word shalom, it means peace. Peace be upon you. As-salam alaykum. Because of a challenge, because of listening, because of responding, our world has become a bit more of a welcoming place. It's a miracle of sorts, but miracles happen at Christmas. Because of Christmas, walls are torn down. Because of Christmas, people are brought closer together. Because of Christmas, we and our world have hope. At Christmas, Christ left his heavenly home to make his home with us. He showed us what it meant to live a life indeed. He showed us how to make a home for one another and for others, to heal the brokenhearted, to bind up the wounded, to call the outcasts back and give them a place, to the end that one day all of us will together find a home with Christ in the heavens. Merry Christmas. I wonder what will happen in your life, when like Joseph, you see the challenge and listen for God's voice and act with faith and not with fear. Amen. A few things this morning. Joanne Casper has returned home from rehab at Baptist Health Center. Our own Colin Penn is the spotlight child in this year's Melodies of Christmas. This is the brochure, the program, and there's a great picture of Colin on the back page. Something very, very special. And just an FYI, from Christmas Day through the day after New Year's, Jan and I will be on vacation for a few days. Next week, we look forward to being led in worship by our own Heather Kramer. Justin will also be on vacation, and our own Brad Day will fill in for Justin. But now we pray together. O God, our Father, whom we trust but do not fully understand, whom we love but not yet with all our hearts, grant us, we pray, not the kind of Christmas we want, but the kind of Christmas that we so sorely need. We live with a sense sometimes that we do not matter much. Remind us of your providence that marks even a sparrow's fall. We live sometimes with a shrinking sense of personal worth. Remind us through your love that every soul is precious. Sometimes we live with a sense of the years going by too quickly. Remind us of your abiding purpose in which all that comes to pass partakes of the eternal. Too often we live with a sense of wrongs committed and of good unattempted. Remind us that for such as us, the Good Shepherd seeks and the Father waits. Our souls take their rest, O God, in the joy of what you are and of who you revealed yourself to be at Christmas. In the manger, we see your way among us clearly and your love for us most profoundly. Let it be enough this Christmas that you reveal yourself to be for us, with us, and among us through Jesus Christ our Lord. O God, you sent your Son among us that your word might be made flesh. So bless with your favor and encouragement all those in our time who would flesh out the gospel and make it credible to an unbelieving age. So this morning we pray for all who earnestly work for peace in this world of yours that knows too much of violence. We pray for all who deliberately live on less than they might in order to give more to that which advances the cause of those who have less than they need. We pray for all who make it their business to plead the cause of the orphan, the refugee, the forgotten, the outcast, and the oppressed. We pray for all who stand up to challenge the prejudice that divides us one from another. We pray for all who stay alert in order to listen with genuine concern and care to those who need an outlet for their hurt and for their tears. O God, you showed us clearly in the drama of Bethlehem that words alone won't do. Help us as individuals and as a congregation and as a people to couple what we say with who we are and with what we do, lest our carols echo back false and hollow. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Finally, O blessed God, who has chosen the weak things of the earth to confound the mighty, grant us, your people who are so easily impressed by worldly power and wealth, eyes for seeing mangers tucked away in stables, and ears for hearing truth spoken quietly and without fanfare. Visit our sick with quiet assurance of your care. Encircle the bereaved with your warming, healing presence. Bless our homes with abiding faith, with love freely given, forgiveness freely extended. Point out markers on the trail for all who have lost their way, and douse with the cold water of common sense any who might be on the verge of some destructive action or tragic decision. All of this we pray in faith and with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord, who came into this world for us and for our salvation, and who taught us how to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Bless you and keep you. The Lord be kind and gracious to you. The Lord smile upon you and give you peace and a blessed Christmas. Amen. Thank you.